So Mershit asks this question. The question is, how does one relax? How does one relax? It is not by sitting silent with eyes closed. For when the mind is giving attention to the body by thought or feeling, then the body is not relaxed. Because the mind is torturing the body. Right? Oh, I'm going to relax. I'm going to relax. I'm going to relax. Oh, wait. I don't know. Something. My knee hurts. My neck hurts. You know, isn't it true? As soon as we want to calm down, the mind starts to become like a monkey jumping from one thing to the next. The body starts wreaking havoc. So, I mean, is that relaxation? Not hardly. It's hell. So the question is, how does one relax? It is not by sitting silent with closed eyes. For when the mind is giving attention to the body by thought or feeling, then the body is not relaxed, because the mind is torturing the body. When the feeling is giving attention to the mind, then the mind is tortured. And this torture, even if the eyes are closed, even if we are sitting in a certain posture, does no good. With relaxation, one should consider three points of view. The point of view of the physical body, the point of view of the mind, and the point of view of the feeling. Does that make sense to you all?
Feeling. When they say feeling, they mean the emotional.
I think Mershit means that, but it could also be sensation. But then if we talk about sensation, we're really talking about the body. So I think that you know, the answer's in the question itself. Do you see what, it's a little bit circular, but I think we can deduce what is meant. So the body, the physical body, the realm of thinking, objects of the mind that arise, which may be, we may call that thought. And then feeling, which is more subtle. It comes from the heart. Do you see the difference? They're connected, however. They're interconnected. Let me read a bit further and then we'll try to illustrate that with a practice. Mershit tells us, from the point of view of the physical body, is that one must accustom oneself to get power over or to have influence on one's circulation and pulsation. This is very subtle here. One's circulation and one's pulsation. How do you think we can do that? What do we use? The breath. And one can do that with the power of thought and with the power of will together with breath. By willpower, one can bring about a certain condition in one's body so that one's circulation takes on a certain rhythm. This is why we do zikr. This is why we do fikr. Fikr meaning circulating a particular thought, mantra, wazifa on the breath. It sets that vibration up through the entire system. One can do the same in regulating one's pulsation by the power of will. No sooner has the will taken in hand the circulation and the pulsation of the body than the will has in hand a meditation for hours. It's as if everything becomes very supple. Okay. The mind is very supple. The body becomes very supple. The circulation is moving through all the channels and the tubes properly, and one can then enter a kind of equipoise. Supple is the word to think of there. It is for this reason that sages can meditate for hours on end, because they have mastered their circulation. They can breathe at will, slower or quicker. And when there is no tension in one's nervous or on one's, excuse me, and when there is no tension on one's nervous or on one's muscular system, then one gets a repose that 10 days sleep cannot bring about. They can breathe at will, slower or quicker. And when there is no tension on one's nervous or on one's muscular system, then one gets a repose that 10 days sleep cannot bring about. Therefore, to have relaxation does not mean to sit quiet. Can I ask you, have you ever had this plan to sit quietly and little things arise that disturb that? And then what really happens? You're more tense than ever before. And probably a little pissed off and agitated too, right? Doesn't it happen that way? It's a really interesting thing. It's like the universe goes, hey, not that way. Hey, not that way. We feel it's very interesting. Try to set aside 10 minutes of quiet and see what happens. So he's saying it's not that. I'm not saying retreat isn't good. I think there's great benefits for people taking silent and individual retreats. But there too, then there's always something, a fly or an ant or, you know, something. It's cold or hot or hungry or, you know, whatever. There's always something that arises. It's not that. Sorry?
I said, what is it?
Well, let's see. You see, though, that's also very interesting, because you see how your awareness got very focused?
Yeah.
It's interesting, because that's part of it. We get very focused on something, and we're going to do that tomorrow, so stay tuned. But it really is about a kind of concentrated, directed effort. You know, it's like when you hold a yoga pose for a long time and then you come out of it, you know how that feels? That's what we can do in this whole system can do that. And the mind, when you train the mind and you make it concentrate on something and then you release it, there's just space. And there's practices that Murshid's given us to help teach us that. So it's a matter of, you know, it could be called concentration and deconcentration. Then one falls into the state naturally. And we'll work with that tomorrow. But we're leading up to it. We're building that anticipation. I'm hearing that Carly Simon song. Anticipation. Aren't you going to sing?
Anticipation is making me wait.
Keeping me waiting. Sorry.
There's a saying, 9/10 of life's pleasure is anticipation.
It's true. Sometimes fulfillment can have the greatest disappointment. Oh, that's what I was waiting for. Do you know what I mean? Exactly.
Is that all there is?
Yeah, is that all there is? There's another song that goes like that. So how does one relax the mind? The method for relaxation of the mind is first to make the mind tired. This is good. Make the mind tired. I hope that's not a commentary on the class. The method for relaxation of the mind is first to make the mind tired. He who does not know the exercise for making the mind tired can never relax his mind. The direct breath. Then the spreading breath. Concentration is the greatest action one can give to one's mind because the mind is held in position on a certain thing. Some of you may have this experience if there's a particular, you know, some people say to me, oh, I love to cook, it relaxes me, right? Or some people like to tinker with cars. Or some people have a particular handicraft that they like to do. It's a way of concentrating. And then sometimes people even do that at night to help them then relax. I mean, we do it naturally in some ways. You know, some people like to needlepoint or crochet. I don't know who has time for that. I'm so glad that people do. Anyway, you know, if you do, then it's wonderful and you can use that. Because it's a way of concentrating the mind on something, and then when you put it down, you're really relaxed. You know what? Do you have a little something like that maybe in your life? Gardening, maybe is that, or I don't know. But I think that's what Murshid's trying to tell us. Everything can be that. Wax on, wax off. Right? Well, I'm doing the dishes now. I'm picking up the dish. I'm washing the plate. I'm rinsing the plate. I'm putting the plate in the... I'm doing the laundry now. I'm picking up the clothes. I'm putting them in the basket. I'm walking to the... Every moment's really an opportunity. And when we do that, we become very zen. You know, we've all read those books, Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance or whatever, Zen and the Art of Archery. We become very at peace or in the flow with that particular action instead of anticipating what we're busy doing here so we can get over there. Yeah? Holly Cotter.
A real dilemma and challenge, not necessarily mine, is that we all can get in the moment.
Yeah.
We don't just do the dishes, doing the dishes and maybe four other things. I'm thinking about five other things. As opposed to when you were doing it, you were present. You're right there, present. That's what the talk about Marty talks about. Practicing the presence of just being there.
Yeah. Well, and I think that if we can also do that with mindfulness. An example of that is my Tibetan Buddhist teacher, who I find, Kompto Rinpoche, he is very, you know, whatever he's doing, I can tell that everything is really, you know, he's very mindful of whatever he's doing. His motions are very beautiful, and this is a person that has had a great sphere of influence in Tibet, in the Tibetan government. He was the minister of culture and religion. He was a person that had great responsibilities in Tibet over large areas of land and masses of people. He has huge responsibilities even at his age, in his 80s. Adiyat Anai Khan's another one. Huge responsibility for a worldwide organization. And 12, 1 o'clock at night, he's in Europe up still, his time, just as fresh as can be, talking to me on Skype in his suit and tie. It's like, when did you put your pajamas on, you know? I mean, really, that kind of involvement brings about a kind of life force and an energy. And so back to Kompto Rinpoche, when he was visiting some years ago and I still lived on Newton, I had an exercise bike in the bedroom, and I had vacated my home so his entourage could stay in my home, and I was staying with Cabrilla, who was living next door. And but I went over to the home, and there was Rinpoche, and he was on the bike doing this, and he had his, you know, his pasha, his scriptures, and he was doing his recitations. And I said, I am so glad to see you doing this. And he said, well, I'm so busy, I have to do more than one thing at once. But he's very mindful of it, you know. There were very, very many demands, and in a completely relaxed, you know, involved state. So even if we do the multitasking. Yes?
The other thing that is multitasking thing in my resistance and kind of irritation. Actually a good friend of Abraham and Helene was Merchant Sam's first student, Sadia Chisti, who was in Pakistan. And so Merchant Sam couldn't stay in Pakistan, you know, when he initiated her and left her in the care of
Kutubuddin Bhakti Artaki?
Sufi Barkat Ali.
Okay.
Sufi Barkat Ali. And so she came to one camp, and just unbelievable. She sat and told stories for hours and hours and hours, days and days, and just this mystery. In Pakistan, where she's in the government and all that stuff, and Sufi Barkat Ali, he's the saint, really, has thousands of students. He's constantly in motion, you know, going from one thing to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next thing. And she talked about it. You know, like just the responsibility. You talked about here with diet. And so I found a picture of him online, and he was still thinking about this guy who's just, he's got this huge spiritual responsibility. He's sitting on this little bed, and he's got this mala that's touching the ground, and he's got it like this. And he's laying over one hand, and he's got his mala, but it's just, it's that juxtaposition of just that peace and inner while he's just taking care of a thousand things. But it's still just, he looked really relaxed. But you know, he's one that I kind of would like to tune to because of his accomplishment, his mastery of accomplishment of just not sitting.
There's some beautiful pictures of Hazrat and Icon in the same way, just very, you know, sort of relaxed in a chair. Or there's one, he's standing on the top of Fazl Manzil, just, you can see it's like that spreading breath, you know, very expansive. And you can do it any time. A small example from my own life is I have to wait for this one elevator at the college, and there's two elevators on campus that are very slow. And I'm often running just right, you know, right. I'm just shaving that time, walking into the classroom studio area. So, you know, I could sit there and I could be all agitated. But people sometimes, I don't even, I mean, I just do it because I know it's beneficial. I must get a really very loose kind of glance, and they'll go, "Where are you?" You know, or "What are you meditating?" You know, and it's like, elevator's going to come when elevator comes, right? Traffic's going to move when traffic moves. Checker at the store is going to go as fast as they can. Concentration is the greatest action one can give to one's mind, because the mind is held in position on a certain thing. After that, it will relax naturally. And when it relaxes, it will gain all power. And when it relaxes, it will gain all power. Relaxation of feeling is achieved by feeling deeply. Relaxation of feeling is achieved by feeling deeply. The Sufis in the East, in their meditation, have played music that stirs up the emotions to such a degree that the poem they hear becomes a reality. Then comes the reaction, which is relaxation. Karuna Mayi, when she was visiting us some years ago, she had advised, I don't know if Ali Khadr remembers this, but she had advised us to try to leave the Zikr hall, just us. She wasn't making a determination for anybody else, but she said, there's such amazing magnetism that is built during the Zikr. If you could leave in silence and let it work deeply, you see, this deep feeling, it's in the circulation. We've recited this, we've made these rhythmic motions, and then what happens? Give some yafatas, hug somebody. That's okay. But what would happen if we could allow ourselves just a few moments to be quiet and feel deeply, like Murshid's saying? Really let it go in, because it's as if it comes right back out again. I know when Layla and her husband Bodhi were here, she asked us to do that sometimes after Zikr. Do you remember? Mm-hmm. And you know, in Holland, at the Universal there, we do the Zikr almost every night of an icon. And absolutely everyone gets up, they change their robes, they gather their things absolutely in silence, and then there's only a footpath to the Universelle down to the main road, and everybody goes absolutely in silence all that way.
I believe it was last fall, we had a 6:01:9:11 said at the end, we've gotten a great deal of energy in that, what you're speaking about. It's very present. He said at the time, we'd give a couple of hugs, but yeah, it was 10 times. And that, yeah, I can see care to that, use of that, for sure.
So he talked about the relaxation of the physical body. He talked about the concentration of the mind and then the feeling. These are the three ways. We work in these three ways to develop a pathway towards mystic relaxation. He says, all that is blocked up, every congestion is broken down. And inspiration, power, and a feeling of joy and exaltation come to them or come to us. Inspiration, power, a feeling of joy and exaltation, not excitation. A little bit it can be, we can get very excited. Not excitation, exaltation. You understand the difference? It is by these three kinds of relaxation that one becomes prepared for the highest relaxation, which is to relax the whole body, it is to relax the whole being, body in repose, mind at rest, and heart at peace. If you have paper, write those things down. Use them as a kind of concentration. Body in repose, mind at rest, and heart at peace. It's really beautiful. I mean, this is it right here in a nutshell. Body in repose, mind at rest, and heart at peace. It is that experience which may be called nirvana. The ideal of thinkers and meditative souls. It is that which they want to reach. For in it there is everything. In that condition, each person becomes for the time as a drop that is assimilated or submerged in its origin. And being submerged for one moment means that all that belongs to the origin is attracted by this drop. Because the origin is the essence of all. The drop has taken from its origin everything it has in life. It is newly charged and has become illumined again. And Murshid in the Gathas talks about this. He talks about that symbology of the drop and the ocean. You know, it's like DNA, you know. One little piece is everything, you know, or fractal geometry. One little fragment is the same as everything else. And so that's what he's saying, that we are a drop that has come from this great origin. He also gives that beautiful symbol of the sun, the one radiant source, and we are the different rays that have come from that one source. It's another metaphor that is used. So again, taking this teaching of mystic relaxation and also the idea of the drop and the ocean are one, the drop is a small piece of that ocean. We too, Murshid talks about this limited and unlimited self, the limited and the unlimited self. And in the external zikr, we draw with this beautiful mudra, you know, like the symbol of the Om. We draw the hand across. The left side represents our heart. These are from Hazrat Anayat Khan's teachings. The left represents the heart. One could say that's the drop. The right represents the soul. One could say that that's emergence in the ocean. And so in the external zikr, we make this motion, drawing the line of limitation and then the vertical line of transformation or the bringing of divine eminence into the presence. And Murshid also says that this motion gives one the greatest protection there is. Now you might notice that we're making the traditional sign of the cross. And he says, if you can't do this motion outwardly, do it with your eyes as a protection if you need it. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes we need the protection, sometimes we need to offer the protection. You can do it with your eyes. And in some papers of Murshid Sam on the performance of zikr, elaborating on Murshid Anayat Khan's teachings, and Anayat Khan also teaches this, we can visualize another self, our self projected here, and we're making that sign on ourself there as well. These are advanced concentrations. If you're on the path, you have a guide. Ask. If you don't ask, if you're not a seeker, nothing can come forth. So with this external zikr, as prescribed by Hazrat Anayat Khan, he says these words, "This is not my body. This is the temple of God. This is not my body. This is the temple of God. This is not my body. This is the temple of God. This is not my body. This is the temple of God. This is not my body. This is the temple of God. This is not my body. This is the temple of God. This is not my body. This is the temple of God. This is not my body. This is the temple of God. This is not my body. This is the temple of God. This is not my body. This is the temple of God. This is not my body. This is the temple of God. If you will turn your head slightly to the left, bringing attention to this left side, this heart, your heart, caring for this heart, your heart, this limited self, this drop, this appearance of individuation and limitation, hold that with your breath, gently. Caress it with your attention, your breath, with your head towards the left. Then move your head to the right, the side as prescribed by Hazrat and Icon, this perfection, this unitative experience of the soul in union with the One. Turn the head back to the left. Bringing the unlimited in union with the limited, empowered and informed by the unlimited, the limited gets nourished, supported, understood, nourished. And we will gently move our head from left to right with an exhalation, thinking these words: there is nothing. And then we draw the breath from the left, the unlimited self, and we breathe in towards the left. Only God is. And we breathe out from left to right, thinking these words: there is nothing. Going to that side of perfection, unlimited self, towards the left. Only God is, breathing in. Go very slowly, like the winds clarifying the sands of all imprints. There is nothing. And breathing in, only God is. And as we turn the head to the left, wherever you are in the process, just listen and sort of map on if you wish. You know, if not, just stick with the practice as it arises for you. But the idea of using the exhalation, moving from the heart to the soul, drawing forth, using this exhalation to pull out anything that is weighing one's heart down. Any splinters, thorns can be drawn out and offered to the unlimited self that understands all things, and then drawing forth from the soul a salve to nourish whatever is left there by whatever has been extracted. use the breath. Use the breath to connect this heart, this soul, this limited self with this unlimited self. And one can continue while repeating the phrase, there is nothing, only God is. There is nothing, La Elaha, only God is, El Alahu. There is nothing, La Elaha, only God is, El Alahu.